I got a Christmas present in the mail today. Nice holiday present from Comcast. And it said that the rates are going up. Everything's going up by a good number of dollars. The internet charge, the package fee charge, the charge for my shoes while I'm watching TV. Comcast is controlling me. My prices are going up. And I thought, well, that's not so bad. I guess everything goes up in price. But then again, get another letter in the mail, seriously. And it's from my electric company, my power company. The rates are going up. Yeah, it's going to cost more. I can use the same amount of electricity, but it's going to cost me more now. Everything's going up in price. Health insurance is going up in price. About a month ago, I got a letter from my insurance company. My homeowner's insurance is going up by 15%, as is my automobile insurance. I have them bundled with the same company so I can save money. That's not saving me money anymore. And I started searching with other insurance companies. It's pretty much the same. Everything's going up by a good percentage. But let me ask you a question. How high did your salary go this year? How much of a raise did you get this year? Is it the same percentage? Is it 15%? Is it 18%, 20% like the power company, the electric company is charging? Like the insurance companies are charging? Did you get a 10, 20% raise this year? Did you get no raise? Did you get 2%, 3%, 5%? That's not going to cut it. And it's interesting because the economy's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. The stock market has never been higher. How are you doing?
Well, I don't notice any difference, Ron. As a matter of fact, things are getting more expensive and I'm not getting any more money.
Oh, it's been a whole year of the Republican thing, though. What happened? What happened there? You know, Hey, it sounds like I'm just complaining, and I'm really not. I'm going to do a show now.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, and it's the same price. It's free.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. I don't mean to complain. Prices go up just about every year. But it's starting to really be obvious now. And I guess more people have jobs than ever. But they're not high-paying jobs. They're service jobs. 70%, I read in a survey, I'm not making it up. Ah, whatever. 70% of all jobs created this past year were in the service industry. So those are like minimum wage, maybe a few dollars above minimum wage per hour, but not much. So a lot of people have more than one job. Does that mean they're rolling in it? Just because you have a job doesn't mean you're making ends meet at all. I own a home. I have property tax. My property tax goes up 10 to 15% every single year automatically. Eventually, it will outmaneuver my wallet. It actually already has. I'm paying tax on something that I already bought. I don't even understand what that means. I know property taxes so your city or town can have some money to do the roads and stuff like that. I get it. I'm just saying, I'm paying for something that I already own. You own that? Yes, I do. I paid for it. Well, you have to pay us if you want to keep it. No, you don't understand. I bought it. I bought it outright. It's mine. Well, you can have it, but you can't have it here. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? My house insurance people and insurance agency, they want over $2,000 a year in case something happens to my house. What if nothing happens to my house, like in 10 years? I've spent $20,000 for nothing. Oh, what are you going to do?
That's too bad. That's too bad. You should have burned the house down, I guess.
Well, you can't rebuild a house for $20,000.
Well, that's the point, Ron. You're getting away. It's really a cheap deal.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Stop it. No, people can't make ends meet, and it's not getting better. It's not getting better at all. And with this new tax bill, the tax cut. The cuts are more for businesses. These are business owners that own companies and are doing rather well. They're doing rather well. They get to save in corporate taxes. So the idea is, they're trying to sell us that the idea is, if the owners of the companies are saving money, well, we'll just take that money, we'll pass it down to our employees, and we'll give them all raises. Do you really believe that's what they're going to do? Do you really, really believe that? This trickle-down-your-pants economy? Do you really believe that the owner of a company would say, look, I don't have to pay that much in corporate taxes. I'm going to take that money and give it to my workers. Do you really believe that? Well, that's what this is predicated upon. Oh, man. And it increases the national debt by trillions of dollars. Do you know who we owe the money to? Do you know who we borrow money from? China. China. Well, now we're in debt even deeper to China. China owns us. So instead of trying to lessen that debt and one day pay it back, we get deeper in the hole so that the owners of the companies can hoard the money that they're saving. It's an odd situation. Stock market's doing very well. How much do you have in the stock market? Are you making tens of thousands of dollars a month off the stock market? No, you don't have investments? Do you have a 401k? Are you drawing on it? Is it helping you now? No? No? There's no more money in your pocket? No? Well, then what are you doing? I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing things out. I know a lot of people that don't think beyond waking up in the morning, brushing their teeth, going to work, and going home and watching TV and going to bed. They don't know what's going on beyond that. They don't understand that there's a machine behind this. So whatever. I'm just saying, I think it's time for the American people to stand up and say, I'm tired of being screwed. I thought I was going to be screwed by that funny lady woman, Clinton woman. I wouldn't vote for her if my life depended on it. So I voted for the crazy guy. Crazy guy is just as bad, if not worse. So this didn't work out at all. They didn't give us any good choices. But that doesn't mean that you just sit there with your mouth shut. It means that you open your mouth and you make it good. and you tell the people that you're not real thrilled with this thing. Oh, man, can't wait for the next national election or whatever. Anyway, I don't mean to complain. We have some great guests toward the end of the program. They're going to talk about something like this, how things have changed over the past year and in society for the most part over many, many years. What's going on with us as a country? What's happening? What's going on? Why are people at each other's throats? Why does hatred take the upper berth? What's going on, man? What's going on? So that's what we're going to talk about later on the program. I'm sorry to start the show off this way, but every once in a while, you just got to do it. So yesterday, decided to go out to dinner with the girl, with the woman, and we went to a sushi restaurant. The one food group that I never understood was sushi. I don't quite get the idea of the sushi thing. Never did, never will. Someone said one day, I have a great idea for a cuisine. Let's just not cook the fish. What are you, crazy? People can die. Apparently. So what? They don't all die, so it's not that bad. And all we do is we put a big sign up in the restaurant that says, if you die from eating raw food, I told you you might. All you got to do is a disclaimer. So that's what they do. So I went to a sushi restaurant. And they had a thing going. They had a special going on. They always do. And it's all the sushi you can eat for $25. Now, sushi is not cheap. It's expensive. All the sushi you can eat for $25 is a pretty good deal. But then at one point you have to say to yourself, how much sushi do I really want to eat here? Why do I want to eat a lot of sushi, really? I don't care for sushi. I don't care for it. I don't understand what it is. They're rolling shit up in rice and giving it to me as a cuisine, and I don't know what's in there. It's different colors. A lot of it is raw fish. I had what's called a bento box yesterday, and they give you little pieces of all that. They give you some sushi, and they give you some tempura, and they give you some teriyaki chicken. They give a bowl of miso soup. They give you a little oriental salad there, and some tofu stuff, and dipping sauces, and rice, and it's a fanciful, wonderful cuisine. I like the way that it's little pieces of everything. It's like a sampler. It's like a sampler, the bento box. Try it sometime when you go to a Japanese restaurant. But I don't understand the sushi. And on this plate, three slices of salmon, three little slices of salmon, they were not cooked. They were as raw as the salmon is raw. I don't know how old the salmon was. I don't know if it was celebrating its birthday, but I'm going to eat it raw, not cooked. I'm just going to trust that they kept it refrigerated, my God. Now, it was rather chilly, so I figured it was refrigerated. Was it out in the parking lot before that? I don't know. Was it sitting on a picnic table for 6 weeks? I don't know. Now I need to trust that I'm eating raw fish that was properly taken care of. Properly stored, properly taken care of. A lot of trust going on eating sushi. A lot of trust. And it's not like the sushi chefs go back into the kitchen and go into a big freezer or a big refrigerator and get out like the fish to keep it fresh. No, they keep it like in the restaurant area in a little chilled aluminum container wrapped up in some plastic. And I don't know, apparently that's the international cleanliness sushi serving rule. I'm trusting them with my life here. I haven't really gotten sick from eating sushi. Not yet. It's like driving a motorcycle. I guess you don't drive a motorcycle, you ride a motorcycle. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. That's the wrong terminology. It's like riding on a motorcycle. Someday, you're going to fall off and hurt yourself. If you ride long enough, it will happen. And those that ride a motorcycle know what I'm talking about. Someday, it will happen if you do it enough. It's probably the same eating sushi and raw fish. If you eat enough of it, if you do it frequently, someday you're going to eat some bad fish. And either you're going to get really sick or you'll die. Whatever. Whatever, because there was a disclaimer in the menu that said raw fish is a questionable situation. Just wanted to let you know that. They do that in restaurants where they serve beef. If you order your beef rare, or sometimes medium rare, we're just warning you, you could die from this. Eating raw beef is not a good idea, but if that's the way you want to order it, be my guest. Do you ever have steak tartare? Do you know what that is? Tartare. It's raw chopped meat. Not much for the chef to do with that. I guess you put some seasoning in it and put it on a plate with a piece of parsley. I don't know what else you could do with raw hamburger meat, but that's what it is. That's steak tartare. That's a fancy way of saying, good luck, this may not work out for you very well. But it states in the menu, ordering raw meat could be a problem, but order away. Whatever you want. So I ate the salmon, and I lived through it to tell you this story about it. But I don't understand the sushi thing. I don't quite get it. Everything is rolled up in rice. I don't know why. And sometimes it's served cold, very rarely served warm, but it's pretty. They don't serve you sushi on a plate. If you order a lot of it, they serve it on a wooden plank. It's very attractive. Has various levels. It's like a sushi town. Little rolls of sushi walking around the village. You eat them sporadically. Very attractively laid out. Sushi means raw fish you could die wrapped in rice in an attractive manner. That's what that means, actually. That's the raw translation of it. My waiter was a guy. My waiter, on top of everything. It was a nice restaurant. It was very, very nice, and it's fine. It was very tasty. I've had better, but it was okay. The waiter came over, and he muttered the one thing that I always get upset about when a waiter mutters things. He said, thank you for coming. And I said, you're welcome there. Do you take credit cards? He says, yes. And I gave him the credit card, and he ran the credit card through. And he gave me the credit card with the slip that I was supposed to sign with a tip. And I said, thank you. And he said, no problem. And then I said to myself, oh, my God, I'm just going to shut up. But I feel like grabbing him by the head and saying, don't say no problem. Don't say that around me. That bothers me. That's not nice. You say you're welcome. You don't say no problem. Thank you. Then you say, you're welcome. When I say thank you, you don't say no problem. That's stupid. That's not like to like. That's bad to bad. Wasn't a problem for him. Thank you. No problem. I'm here anyway. I serve assholes all day. It's not a problem, believe me. If it was a problem, I'd tell you. No, but I said thank you, though. I said thank you. No problem. That's It's not a problem for me. I could be a problem, but it happens not to be a problem. So I didn't suggest that it was a problem. I didn't come into your restaurant posing a problem to you. I came into your restaurant to eat your food, and to pay you money for it, and perhaps die from the raw fish. I'm glad that all this is not a problem for you. I guess you opened up the restaurant, and if people came in and you had some business, that's not a problem. That's not what a problem would be to you. You see, your response is actually, you're welcome. That's what you should be saying. Now, I said nothing to him whatsoever. I said all this inside my head. But I can't stand that response. No problem. You didn't bother me that much. I know you think you created a problem, but it wasn't one, so let's just call it even. No, that's not the way we're supposed to be talking. Come up with these little social phrases, and then they take off, and then they bother me. You know what? It's a problem. It is a problem. All right. We're going to break for, I don't know if we're going to break. Maybe we won't break. I don't think we have time to break. When we come back, we're going to speak to an interesting bunch of guys. It's, I think you'll find it interesting.
As a special surprise, thank you. Everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret.
That's right.
Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
It's no problem. Jonathan Greenblatt joins us, and Rick Smullen joins us. They're collaborators on The Good Fight. And this is something that's an interesting technological kind of thing going on here. You're doing a live satellite, I understand, right now with us?
We are, yes. Okay. We're talking to journalists around the country.
Very nice.
We're here in Manhattan this morning.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, we're talking about cyber hate and all kinds of confronting cyber hate. My goodness, you know, let's just say what it is here. The internet is a wonderful thing, but it's also a horrible, horrible place. And I think that's where we're at here, isn't it?
Well, you know, the ADL, we've been fighting anti-Semitism and all forms of bigotry for over 100 years. And I think you're right to point out that today, the front line in fighting hate is Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So social media has connected people and created communities across borders, across time zones, across cultures. And at the same time, it has allowed some of the bigots and the haters who previously couldn't get into the public conversation, now they're in the public square.
Very much so. And the more you hate sometimes, the louder the message, unfortunately, it takes the wrong seat. And I don't quite understand. I mean, I know we live in a free society, but yet we do have censorship in some areas, but we don't seem to have it on the internet. I don't know that we should or we shouldn't.
Well, look, we're fierce advocates for the First Amendment, mm-hmm. but I think we need to recognize what Louis Brandeis did 100 years ago, that while hateful speech may be permissible vis-a-vis our Constitution, harmful speech is not.
Mm-hmm.
When the founders envisioned freedom of expression, they didn't think it was okay to have the freedom to incite violence against people. Freedom of speech isn't freedom to slander. So there is work to be done to make sure that social media and platforms like Twitter and Facebook and others,
mm-hmm.
again, as they bring people together, they also preserve public safety.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, when this Constitution was put together and such, there were no internets, there was no television, there was no radio. I mean, it's just everything's in a different context now, and I don't understand sometimes why we're working off of archaic situations when certain vehicles did not even exist.
Well, look, the beauty of this of this Constitution, I think, is its vitality through the centuries. And it is indeed adapted to technology. The founders couldn't maybe have imagined, for example, the telegraph, radio, television, cable, and now the internet.
Right.
But I think you're correct, Ron, to identify that we need both a mix of the companies to take responsibility in new ways to ensure that our children and vulnerable communities are effectively protected, even as we promote new ideas. And we also likely need policymakers to think about how do we create the right guardrails to ensure the companies, you know, stay on track. At the end of the day, we don't want to choke off free expression, but we do want to make sure that the internet remains a safe and secure environment for all communities, even marginalized communities, because to be frank, as the Good Fight points out, communities have been struggling since the start of this nation, and there's work to be done to ensure that everyone's rights and privileges are protected. Hey, Ron, you know, I wanted to jump in here for a second, which is, Jonathan and I have been working for the last year on this book, The Good Fight, America's Ongoing Struggle for Justice, which is a look at the really inspiring struggles that so many groups have fought over the last 100 years to make America the country that we all grew up believing it is, you know, where people have the rights to, where they're safe and where they're able to succeed despite their backgrounds, their religions, their race, their gender, whatever. But there's a wonderful quote in The Good Fight, and Jonathan's too modest to say it, but it's one of my favorite quotes in the book where Jonathan says they used to hide behind their white hoods and now they hide behind their cell phones.
Yeah,
and she's talking about how the internet has given license for people anonymously to attack each other and to and incite each other in a way with no accountability, which is very dangerous. And I love the internet. I love technology, but every one of these new inventions is a double-edged sword, right? I mean, you know, it's as Jonathan said, it's brought people together in ways that are unimaginable. It's allowed us to learn. People can go to college and educate themselves no matter where they are in the world. But it's also allowed people who are on the fringes, the minorities, the really the psychos, to actually find each other and unite and band together to create a form of hatred that I don't think we've really seen before.
Correct. I think that sword is weighing a little more heavily on the side of abuse, to be honest with you, in my estimation. I think everything can go too far, and in today's society, everything that can go too far does go too far. What about through our legislators and our representatives? Are we leaning in that direction for some type of at least acknowledgement of this? I know within the past half year since a certain presidency, we've been grappling with this again in a harsher manner.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that when Rick and I started working on this book, we had no idea how urgent it would be. Mm-hmm. And it's urgent because, indeed, our leadership today equivocates on what was once unequivocal.
Right.
There never used to be much of a question about whether white supremacy was permissible. Now it seems to be. There never used to be a question as to whether or not this country was a nation of immigrants. Now it seems to be. Mm-hmm. And there's work to be done for people of good conscience to come together and say the rich tapestry that is America, that's represented by people of different races and religions, gender, etc., we need to lift that up, not push it back. And I think that's what the book talks about, Ron.
Good.
And I think that's increasingly what the country wants to focus on.
I believe that the population in this country that are indeed white supremacists or have this bigotry is an extremely small percent. But unfortunately, with the internet and a presidency, this gives them credibility and it gives them a voice. And I think that's where the danger is. And that's where we're saying that extra boost of voice is cruel and it's wrong.
You're right. I mean, we've certainly seen the bigots and the haters exploit new technology. The so-called alt-right has leveraged the loopholes on these platforms to promote their poison. Mm-hmm. But the good news is that while there is this moment and it's time to worry, there's also great cause for hope. Mm-hmm. And I think the moments we've seen of people coming together, like the Women's March, which is in the book, right, Rick? Yeah, well, you know, this by the way, Ron, if any of your listeners are familiar with the Day in the Life books, this is a big 258-page coffee table book of a wonderful images and photographs. Right. And there's even an internet component where you can point your phone at different pictures in the book, and it triggers videos. But, you know, one of the things that Jonathan was just referring to is last year in America, 800 women said they're going to run for office. Mm-hmm. This year, 11,000 women have said they're running for office. When the Native Americans were protesting the Dakota Pipeline last year, 300 different Native American tribes came together. It's the largest gathering of Native Americans in American history to protest the pipeline. So we're seeing a reaction against this kind of hatred and bigotry. You know, there's a wonderful picture in the book of a Jewish American man with his 7-year-old son on his shoulders standing next to a Muslim American man with his 7-year-old daughter on his shoulders at the airport in Chicago protesting Trump's the first of the three bans, all of which were blocked by the courts. So the fact that you have Muslims and Jews fighting together against a common cause is I think a cause for hope.
True, that is true. And you can't deal with the cockroaches until the cockroaches come out of the wall at night, and then you can see how many cockroaches you have and deal with them then. So I think the cockroaches,
great
analogy. Yes, they have been pulled out in the middle of the night. Okay, the book is called The Good Fight. It's photos and essays, and you're right, it kind of helps bring us together. Thank you so much for your time. Is there a website we can visit?
Yeah, what I recommend people do is actually go to either Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Uh-huh.
The book, this ought to be a $100 book. It's only $35, and they've discounted it. There's also thegoodfightbook.org to learn more about the project itself. But as I said, it actually reminds you that you'd rather be in 2017 than 1917, whether you're a man, a woman, Muslim, American, Jew, African-American, gay, disabled. When you say to people, would you rather be in 1917 or 2017, the answer is always, oh, no, definitely today. I think we have problems today. We haven't fixed by any means the challenges, but we've made a lot of progress over the last 100 years, and that's part of what the Good Fight, America's ongoing struggle, it was designed to do.
Very good. Yeah, it's a story of, it's a few jerks with a megaphone is pretty much where we are right now. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope everybody does take advantage of your offer. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ron. Take care.
Bye-bye. Interesting. I'm out of time. Oh, my God. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. Thanks. Thank you. No problem. That was no problem. It was no problem. Believe me, I had to do this anyway. It's not a problem. It was no problem. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's not a problem. Was no problem at all. Stop it, it's no problem.